For our reading this morning, let's turn to the book, New Testament book of 2 Peter, which is towards the back of your book in the New Testament. If you find Hebrews, keep on going to the right. You get the Revelation, you've gone a little too far. 2 Peter, just a little three-chapter book, and we're going to go to the third chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 14. So I hear pages turning, that's good. That means you brought your Bibles with you. That's what we do here every Sunday. We open these books up. If you have your place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen. Good, let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Starting with verse 14, it says this, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He wrote the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we start this new year, Father, we want to do that. We want to have all glory go to you. So, Father, with the reading of this word that you have given us, we thank you for putting this word in our lives. And, Father, as you have appointed me as your spokesperson here at Beech Grove Christian Church, I just hide behind the cross and just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart here this morning be pleasing to you. To you be the glory, Lord. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Every so often, the President of the United States goes on TV and he gives a State of the Union address. This morning, I want to do something similar to that for us here at Beech Grove Church. This morning, I'm going to talk about three things. I'm going to talk about our church. I'm going to talk about my ministry here at Beech Grove Church, where we have been. And three, I'm going to talk about where we are going in 2012 as a church. First, let's talk about Beech Grove Church. Beech Grove Church is non-denominational. We are not affiliated with a denomination. We are not part of the Disciples of Christ Church as we once were at one point in time. Due to circumstances, which I won't get into much here this morning, the congregation of this church decided to defect from the Disciples of Christ Church and become non-denominational, become independent. Just real quick, what was the reason why? Because there are some denominations that become too liberal in their theology. When they start saying that there was no resurrection, when they start saying that there is no hell, when they start saying that there was no virgin birth, folks, it is time to move on. It is time to abandon. And when representatives from that denomination were saying those types of things, this congregation made a very wise decision and said, "See you later," and became independent. Good job, Beech Grove Church. You did that before my time with a former pastor. That was a wise decision. Let's talk about financials for a second. Beech Grove Christian Church has three funds. We have a general fund, we have a building fund, and we have a cemetery fund. I assure you that all three of those funds financially are in very good shape. Why? Because this is a generous church. As long as this church continues to be generous, I believe that God will continue to bless each and every one of us, and those funds will stay in good shape. Another reason why we are in good shape financially is this. We are not part of a denomination. What we take in here every Sunday, we can turn around and do three things with that. We pay our bills and utilities. You pay me a salary. Thank you. And we give. And we give. And we give. And we give generously to the community and to the world. And I believe God will continue to bless that. And another reason is we do not have to give to a denomination hierarchy. Our money stays right here in the community. It does not have to be sent to St. Louis or to Richmond or to any other place. What we bring in here, we keep here, and we give out here. As far as future building projects, there are none in mind. It's not like we're going to build another sanctuary or pave the parking lot or do anything like that. We are going to put new windows in the fellowship hall. That should be happening here shortly within the next couple months. But besides that, there are no big building projects going on. So, real quick, that's just a quick synopsis of Beech Grove Church, the denomination, our finances, and building projects where we're going. Now, let me shift gears. Let me talk a little bit about my ministry, what has happened over the last couple of years. I preached my first sermon here on October the 21st, 2007. When I walked into this church that morning, there was a young man by the name of Philip Thompson who greeted me and introduced himself. After some conversation that morning, I asked him what denomination this church was, and Philip Thompson responded, he said, "We are non-denominational." Then I asked him, "Well, as far as your belief system, do you sway towards the Arminian view, or do you sway towards the Calvinistic view?" And he said this, "I don't know what that means." We just believe the Bible. And you know, that's a good place to start. We just believe the Bible. Well, in a case like that, I think you got a hold of the right guy, because I just believe the Bible. I had a person say to me one time this, "Mike, you put too much credibility in the Bible." I took offense to that. I said, "I don't put too much credibility in the Bible. I put all my credibility in the Bible." Amen? That's what we need to do. Then he said this, "Oh, by the way, you're conducting the whole service this morning. Just follow the bulletin, you'll be okay. So welcome to Beech Grove Church." Well, I'm in my fifth year here at Beech Grove Church. Just a few statistics. I have preached 194 sermons. I have managed to pay attention through each and every one of them. All of the bulletin sermon notes from every sermon that I've ever preached are on our church website, in case you're curious and you want to go back and look at those things. Most of the audio sermons are also up on our church website. If you want to listen to them or download them, our church website is www.beechgrovecc.org. And I'm in the process right now of giving it a facelift, so in a couple weeks you will see a new and improved website up there. I do not concern myself with the number of people that attend this church for two reasons. One, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says this, "My responsibility is to preach the word in and out of season. And I hope that I'm faithful in doing that." God has me to be concerned about the depth of the ministry of what is taught here. On the other hand, Matthew 16, verse 18 says this. He tells Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." On what rock? On the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, "I will build my church." I do not want to compete with Jesus Christ. He says, "Mike, if you control the depth of it, you take care of the depth, I'll take care of the breadth of it." So when that number up there, if it's 37, if it's 17, if it's 217, that is not my concern. God will bring who God wants to bring. I just take care of what I need to take care of, and that is the depth of the preaching of this ministry. I'm a topical preacher. I take a topic and preach on that for several weeks. I do sermon series. I've preached 26 sermon series over the last almost 5 years now. I know you're interested. Well, what are they? Good, I'm going to tell you. The truth matters. God's plan of salvation. Ready for a change? Portrait of a pastor. Christianity basics. The Christmas scriptures. False teachers, doctrines, and religions. From faith to hope. Divine election. Am I saved? Joy, assurance, and security. Sanctification, or as I called it, why do hardships happen to God's chosen? The Holy Spirit. Jonah, man on a mission. Count the cost. Disputable matters. Biblical Salvation 101. Walking in confidence, which was a study of Romans 8:28. The glory of God. The secret things of God. Christian conduct. Evangelism. The integrity of the church. Church is a place of, fill in the blank, Mormonism, cult, or Christian. And our last sermon series, Advent of 2011. Do I remember everything that I've ever preached? No, I don't. I don't. I go back and look over some of my sermons and say, God, you must have written that, because that's some pretty good stuff. And you probably don't remember it all either, and that's okay. Have I ever preached the same sermon twice? No, I have not. Have I ever preached someone else's sermon? The answer to that is no, I haven't. Did you know that on the internet you can pull up just about anybody's sermon and just print it, preach it word for word if you so desire? There have been people that have done that, and there are people today who continue to do that. Let me tell you this story. There was a young man in a congregation who kind of caught on that his pastor was preaching sermons that could be easily downloaded from the internet. After a sermon one Sunday, he went up to the preacher and he said this, "Preacher, that was a really good message, but it's not as good as next week's." Okay, this is where the laughter is supposed to come in. In other words, he's already read next week's, and he knows what the preacher's going to say. Okay, that's funny, right? That's funny. Okay. Come on, amuse me here this morning. It's sermon stealing, and I don't do that. Do I get ideas from other guys' sermons? Absolutely, I do. Do I glean from them? Yes, I do. Do I steal them completely? No, I don't. I wait on the leading of the Holy Spirit to tell me where I need to go. Out of all the sermon series that I have preached, do I have a favorite? Yes, I do. I believe my favorite sermon series was Count the Cost. So, now that you're curious, well, what was that all about? You're going to go on the internet today and listen to it, I hope. So, Count the Cost was my favorite. In those 194 sermons, I have introduced you to some new words. Actually, introduced myself to some new words, like theodicy, soteriology, and propitiation. Theodicy is the defense of God's justice in the midst of calamity and man suffering. Soteriology is the study of the doctrine of salvation. And propitiation means to appease or to gain favor. Christ's death on the cross was a propitiation for our sins. But I believe out of all the new words that we have may have learned over the last 4+ years, I think the most important word we've ever learned is this. God is sovereign. Sovereignty. The sovereignty of God. Isaiah chapter 46, let me turn there real quick. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 through 11 say this. Remember this, fix it in mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. I love to know that God is sovereign. In other words, if we want a definition of God, God can do what he wants to do. and he can do it to whomever he wants to do it to, and he does it for his own good pleasure. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with God's sovereignty. I'm okay with knowing that God is on the throne, that he is totally in control of all things, that there is not one molecule or not one atom that he does not know about, that is not within his jurisdiction. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with knowing that my life is certainly in his hands. My favorite preachers to listen to on the internet or CD are John MacArthur from Grace to You Ministries, John Piper out of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and R.C. Sproul out of Ligonier Ministries. You probably haven't heard of those three guys, because you're not going to see those three guys on TV. But I do watch Charles Stanley on Sunday mornings before I come to church, because I think he's an excellent preacher. Yes, there are many preachers that I do refuse to watch and listen to. That list, I'll keep to myself. On that same note, I cannot tell you what preachers that you need to watch or not to watch, which ones to listen to and not to listen to, which ones to read and not to read. I am not the spiritual policeman. Who you watch, who you listen to, and who you read is your decision. But I do encourage you to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, who searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true. I encourage you to do that for them, and I encourage you to do that for what I teach you also. I refuse to buy into the latest Christian craze, whatever that Christian craze may be. If you watch so-called Christian TV, there's no telling what you might see or what you might hear. Seems like every preacher wants to one-up the next guy. Seems like there has to always be something new in Christianity, be it holy laughter, or special anointings, or slain in the spirit, or miracle water, or order your healing cloth now, or take this bar of soap and wash that misery out of your life. As far as Christian book fads are concerned, we've gone everywhere from Bruce Wilkerson's The Prayer of Jabez back in 2000 to The Purpose-Driven Life, The Purpose-Driven Church by Rick Warren, to The Shack by William P. Young. Churches have used these books for sermons and Sunday school material. There wasn't another man who I know a church used, many churches used this man's material. His name, Rob Bell. Rob Bell is a very charismatic young man. He has his hair combed the right way. He has that charismatic, dynamic personality. He has captured the audience of many, many people. Many churches bought into his teaching, his books, his videos, his Sunday school teaching. And then last year, Rob Bell comes out with a book and says, there is no hell. He says that God is a loving God and God would never send anybody to hell. Some churches have some explaining to do, because once upon a time, that church bought into this man's works, his lessons, his teaching. And it was good because it was new. It was exciting. And now the congregation is wondering, what kind of church am I following anyways? At once they bought into it, and now he's saying there is no hell? It does damage to the credibility of the leadership of the church. Forgive me if I decide not to hop on the bus of the new and improved way of doing Christianity, because Mike Gowan does not need anything new. I have what I need right here in this book, and it's worked for centuries, and it's going to continue to work as long as I'm the pastor of Beech Grove Christian Church. And I certainly hope this congregation is okay with that. I don't buy into any other people's teachings. Not saying that they're bad, not saying that they're good. I'll just say this, I'm not going to use them. I like the inspired Word of God. You can't go wrong with the inspired Word of God. The name of my ministry is called The Truth Matters. I gave my ministry that name for one reason. The truth matters. It does. My first official sermon series as your pastor was a 5-week series titled The Truth Matters. 5 weeks. What truth is? A biblical worldview, biblical inspiration, biblical authority, and biblical submission. Everything centers around the Bible. When it doesn't, we're in trouble. If there's one thing that I'm convinced of, is that the enemy of the church is not the other religions, the other faiths, and the other cults. The enemy of the church is the abundance of false teaching within the church. And unfortunately, this false teaching is leading innocent people straight to the pits of hell. I'll just say this. For some of those innocent followers who are following some of these people who are not giving proper theological teaching, that they better have their best life now, because the next one's going to get pretty hot. Amen, brother. That's good preaching. Y'all know who I'm talking about too, don't you? So where are we going in 2012? Enough of where we've been. Where are we going? Before we get to there, I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I believe that this book is the inspired Word of God, and it's the only book that I know how to use. And it's the only way that I know how to teach. It's the only way that I know how to preach. Yes, I do have my opinions about other people, other pastors, other preachers, other ministries, other denominations. Yes, I do. I believe what we have going on here is a good thing. Not because of me, because we let God lead what's going on here at this church. A couple Sundays ago, before we were going into have our dinner, someone came up to me and said, I really feel the presence of God in this church. My friends, it's not because of me, it's not because of you, it's because of what we allow the Spirit of God to do within this church. Because Jesus says this, it is my church and I will build the church, and on this rock I will build the church. Let's keep the rock ahead of us, folks, and God will do the rest. Amen? Amen. So where are we going in 2012? Well, let's look at our scripture text this morning, because I want to point out a couple things to let you know where we are going in 2012. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. The Apostle Peter tells us this, that ignorant and unstable people, they distort the Scriptures, and unfortunately that leads to their destruction. What he says there in verse 16. So as your pastor, as your shepherd, I do not want you to be ignorant about what this book says. When we become ignorant of this book, then it's easy to start distorting this book and what God is trying to teach us and tell us through this book, through His divine revelation. So I don't want any of us in here to be ignorant, which leads to distortion, which leads to possible destruction. We can't go there, my friends. We can't go there. That's the negative part of it. Let's look at verse 18. In verse 18, the Apostle Peter tells us how to combat that. He tells us, and if we don't want to be ignorant, if we don't want it to distort, and if we don't want to get destroyed, we need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Two key words there. Grow and the knowledge. When we grow in the knowledge of His Word, then we do become less ignorant, we become less distorting, and hopefully that destruction thing won't be a part of our lives. So with that as our foundation, with growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that's going to be our foundation for 2012. And how do we grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? My favorite book, my friend, right here in front of me. God's Word, the Bible. And here's what we're going to do in 2012. In 2012, everyone got a bulletin there in front of them? In your bulletin, you'll notice that in the inside, in the top right-hand side, I always have the scripture reading for the week. We're going to do something a little bit different this week. For 2012, I'm going to encourage everybody in here to read the New Testament in 2012. Every day, to have their Bible open and read what the daily reading is going to be for that particular day. You notice I have it in there. I do not have the Old Testament scriptures in there. If you still want to read the Old Testament, that will be fine. But my encouragement to you this morning is this. I want each and every one of us in here, and that includes me, to make a practice and a discipline of daily reading God's Word. Why? Because God's Word does what? Transforms lives. That's what God's Word does. That's where we're going to go here this year, my friends. So, if you look in your bulletin here this morning, we have Matthew 1, today's reading, all the way through Saturday's reading, Matthew 6, verses 1 through 11. What we're going to do, we're going to read that this week. Find yourself a good place, a good time to do that. I don't know if it's early morning, in the afternoon, at night. I do encourage you to do this. Do it every day. Do it every day. I know that there are times when you say, oh, I missed it, so I'll double up the next day. I know that will probably happen. It'll probably happen to me this as we go throughout this year. But there's something about daily reading the Word of God. And that's why I have this on a daily reading basis. So here's what we're going to do. Matthew 1 through Matthew 6, verses 1 through 18. So that when we come back here next Sunday, guess what I'm going to preach on? Something within that scripture text. I'm not going to preach on all of it. Would be here for a while. JL better bring a whole bunch of Snickers bars if that's the case. I'm going to read that. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead me. And I'm going to say, all right, Spirit of God, what do you want me to preach on? What do you think I need to know? What do you think our congregation needs to know this Sunday from this reading? And I'm sure that He will let me know that. So when we come back in here, I'll preach on something that we've found. So this means in 2012, all those 26 sermon series that I've ever done, there will, at least for 2012, no more sermon series. It'll just be a journey through the New Testament in 2012. I've already looked ahead. For the first 6 months of 2012, we're going to be in the four Gospels. And for those of you who are in my Sunday school class said, that's no big deal. We've been in John for 4 years now. And we're still all in on chapter 14. This is going to be difficult for me, my friends. Let me tell you why. Because as I go and I read these six chapters, I know that there's going to be 100 different things that I know that I think I need to go here, I need to go here. There's going to be some things we're going to miss. There's only going to be one thing that the Spirit's going to lead me to, and He's going to say, Mike, this is what you need to preach on. So we're going to miss an awful lot. I understand that. I understand that. First 6 months, we'll go through the four Gospels. And as we go through the four Gospels, that's a whole lot that we can learn about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Did you know that there are 260 chapters in the New Testament? 366 days in 2012. That means that we're going to read less than a chapter a day. I don't think that's difficult, my friends. I don't think that we're going to have any trouble doing this. I think we must do this. I think this is the year, 2012, where we each and every one of us at Beach Grove Church, we open up our Bibles and we start to read. And perhaps you can maybe make a little game out of it. Maybe you can say, okay, I've read this week. I bet you Mike's going to preach on this. And maybe I might, maybe I might not. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going for next week. I haven't read my reading for this week. But as a congregation, we need to grow. We need to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the knowledge of Jesus Christ is found right here in this Bible. Right here. We're going to go through the New Testament, and that's where we're going to go. You'll always know that my sermon will be something that you have just read this past week. And I want to be an encouragement to you. So let me just stop right there. Are you ready for the challenge? Are you ready? You ready to move up to this? I don't know what your daily reading looks like now. And maybe a lot of you have said, Mike, I've read the New Testament 100 times. Guess what? You're about ready to read it for 101st time. 101 time. And I guarantee those of you who are sitting in here and saying, I've read it 100 times, have said this. You know, the last time I read it, I learned something new. Amen? Every time you open up God's Word, there's going to be something that you're going to learn new about His Word, because that's what God's Word does. It's new and it's fresh each and every day. And I want not only me to be a part of that, but I want you to be a part of that too. So I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader, okay? Now, whatever you do, please don't picture me up here with a short skirt and pom-poms on, okay? All right, we're not going here this morning, okay? We're not going in that direction. But I want to be your biggest cheerleader. I do. I want to cheer you on. I want to encourage you. I want each and every one of you to come up and say, you know, Joyce Ray, did you read, you know, how, what did you think about Matthew this week? Or go to Lee and say, Lee, what did you think of Matthew chapter 4 this week? Or, you know, I might put you on the spot. Was the reading encouraging this week? What did you learn this week? That's a good thing, my friends. God's Word changes lives. And I can just say this. I'm looking at a whole bunch of people whose lives have been changed by this Word. And I know that I'm one of them. And I know one thing. If it changed me, and if it changed you, it can continue to change us so we can go on out and continue to change the world. Because that's our commission, right? Go on out and make disciples of all nations. A lot of people have said, you know, I don't know much about the Bible, and I understand that. We all have to grow. We're all on a journey, and not everybody knows as much as the person next to them. But I guarantee this, when this year is over, and by the way, the world is not coming to an end on December the 21st, 2012, because the Mayan calendar ended, that's not going to happen. So around that time, we will be in the book of Revelation, okay? So we're going to go all the way through Matthew 1 through Revelation 22, and it's going to be a great journey. Are you up for it? You ready? It's going to be a good thing. Amen? Amen. That's what we're going to do in 2012. Let's go to God in prayer.